Invite the children to come down to the front here. We're going to have a children's story after our next song. We also welcome to our radio listeners on 2NBC FM 90.1. A very Merry Christmas to you this morning as you've joined us. We're going to sing again, beautiful song, Silent Night.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Oh, I hope you've had a great morning, have you? I hope so. It's been an exciting one in our place, that's for sure. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story today about Christmas. It's called Christmas at the Stable, but I'm going to have some children come and play some of the parts in that story. So if Luke and Brianna and Joey, would you like to come on up? And I'm going to dress you up to be some certain characters in our story. Now, firstly, Luke, we have you. You are Moody the cow. Oops, I better put you around the right way. There's some ears for you. So we better make sure that you've got some nice ears, just like a cow. And we've got a lovely brown coat for you, just like a cow, with a very special tail on the end. Because it's important that we all have a tail if we're going to be a cow. So you'd like to show everybody your tail? Look at that, very nice, nice and brown. Okay, and Brianna, you are going to be Barb, the sheep. So we've got some ears for you and a lovely little woolly coat. And of course, your coat also comes with a nice tail that's appropriate for a sheep. So you would like to show everybody your lovely little tail. Very nice. Well, we're just having a few troubles here. There we go. And Joey, you are going to be Dudley the donkey. So we have to give you some nice donkey ears. Very good. And also we'll have a nice grey donkey coat for you. And a great tail for a donkey as well. So let's just put this on here and then you can show everybody your little tail. Look at that, very nice. And of course, being little animals, it wouldn't be complete without a little nose. So I better put you a nice little black nose for you, and another one for you, Barb, and one for you, Moody. Very good. Okay, I think you're set for now for our story. So let's get started. Okay, it was late afternoon and the animals were getting restless. Moody the cow was tired and irritable. Barb the sheep was dozing, while Dudley happily munched away on his late afternoon snack. And Moody said,
"Move over, Barb, you're taking up too much room."
Barb opened one eye and glared at Moody.
"What is the matter with you?"
Moody was sorry for being grumpy. He was so tired. There were humans in the stable last night. And well, that human lady was so loud. All that panting, puffing, moaning and groaning. How is anyone supposed to sleep with that racket going on? Barb had some problems of her own last night. She saw a very bright light coming through her window from that very bright star. It shone right onto her, and no matter how hard she shut her eyes, she couldn't block it out. She wasn't able to sleep at all. And what about Dudley's night? Dudley didn't know what the other two were complaining about. He didn't have any trouble sleeping. He didn't notice anything unusual at all last night. And Moody said,
"You wouldn't notice if your tail fell off."
And Barb said,
"What about all those people who came to visit last night? Why did they have to come here?"
And Dudley said,
"What people? I must have missed all of that too."
They didn't know who that was visiting last night. That was Mary and Joseph. Baby Jesus was born there last night.
No way!
Baby Jesus, he's the Son of God. He came to save the world. He was born so that all men could go to heaven. But just like you, Moody, many people choose to listen to the story of Jesus. And like you, Barb, they close their eyes to the truth and don't want to see what is going on around them. Then there are people like you, Dudley. They just choose to ignore what is going on in their lives and all around them. They pretend that everything is all right and nothing needs changing. The truth is, we all need Jesus. It would be best if we all began to realise the miracle that was witnessed that night in the stable. Let's remember this Christmas that Jesus is a very special gift from God. Remember that he loves you and he came to earth just for you. Thank you very much, Moody, Barb and Dudley. We hope you all have a very happy Christmas too. Thank you very much for helping me out. Thank you. And for all the children, there is available, if you would like to use it, a creche for all the children under three, from 3 to 5 year olds. There's a program downstairs in the Rainbows Room. And if they're school-age children, there's worksheets available in the foyer. So feel free to use those services whenever you want to. Thank you.
We're going to sing again that great Christmas carol, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Will you stand with us to sing?
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a life has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is God's word.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you did you know that your baby
On this Christmas morning, we're going to take some time to pray for our people, to thank God, to pray for our nation, and to pray for our world. So would you pray with me? Our God and Creator, our loving Father, you have demonstrated your love for us by sending the Saviour, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into our world to pay the penalty of our sin and rebellion. So it's with real joy that we have gathered this morning to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Help us to take hold of the importance of his birth, and help us to be mindful and thankful for his death on the cross and for his resurrection. Help us to respond to your love with enthusiasm and sincere commitment this Christmas season. Help us to gratefully receive this special gift of your Son that you have offered to us at Christmas. Our loving and merciful God, on this Christmas day, we want to pray for others. Father, there are many tensions in our world. We acknowledge the difficulties in many nations of this earth and pray for those countries which experience war, conflict, terror, and other troubles. We ask that you would give discernment to peacemakers, that terrorists would be brought to justice, and that the oppressed will receive true justice. We pray for peace and harmony in our world. We pray for those suffering drought, famine, or other environmental calamity worldwide. We pray for wise government in those places. We pray for the work of many aid agencies that work throughout this world endeavouring to alleviate suffering of all sorts. Bless their work, we pray. We pray for peace in our own nation. We pray for harmony between people of different cultural backgrounds. We pray that the Church of Jesus Christ will model what it means to love and work in harmony with others, irrespective of background. We want to pray for our new government as they govern our country. Grant them clear discernment and great wisdom in their decision making. We also pray for the opposition and ask that they would be effective. But Father, we also pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of our politicians and draw them to you. Even though the Christmas season is one of celebration and happiness, there are those who struggle at this time. We pray for those in prison, for those who are homeless, for those in hospital, for those who are shut in, for those suffering major illness, for those suffering the effects of broken marriages or difficult family or work situations. We pray for those who have suffered recent personal loss of a loved one or some other significant loss. In their struggles, may they each turn to you for strength, for meaning and purpose in life. Give them comfort and courage at this time. Father, we continue to pray for the rain that our rural communities need. We pray for rural families facing all forms of difficulty resulting from the lack of rain. We pray for their well-being, and we pray for those who provide support to those people. Father, we also pray for spiritual refreshment to fall in our cities and in our communities and individuals. We ask that people would turn to you, the provider of all things, that they would acknowledge you for who you are, the eternal God. Father, we pray for safety for those travelling on the roads around this country during the holiday season. We ask that those travelling would do so with safety and forethought for those around about them. We ask for a huge reduction in traffic accidents on our roads this holiday season. Father, thank you for hearing these prayers for our people, our nation, and our world. Amen.
Christmas, of course, is a time of giving. when we realise that God gave his son for us. Australian Baptist World Aid ask us to contribute to their ministry that they might in turn be able to contribute to the ministry of those less fortunate than we are. In a few moments we're going to receive our offering. If you've not come prepared for that today, please let that pass by you. But as we receive our offering, we're going to sing again, O Little Town of Bethlehem, while we remain seated.
Reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of Luke. I'm reading from chapter 2, verses 8 through to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
God rest ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. But when to Bethlehem they came, where our dear Savior lay, they found him in a manger where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling unto the Lord did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Our turn to sing again, this time the great song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Will you stand with us and join us to sing?
Yeah.
seated.
Friends, let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this day of Christmas and where we remember your love for us in sending your Son. We ask that this morning as we reflect on your word that you would inspire us and challenge us and give us hope and comfort because of the birth of the Saviour. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, good to be together this morning. Do you know, I have a confession to make this morning, and it's this, that I'm absolutely hopeless at giving gifts, or at least giving the right gift. The only thing I hope of getting right with my wife is Chanel No. 5 perfume. I know if I buy that, I am set, I am right. She's happy, I'm happy, the family's happy. So I even bought her a bottle in Chicago 2 years ago, and I was on a good thing. It was the right one. But last year, I flew out to Bali to visit some workers on the island, and I went straight to duty-free at Sydney Airport to make sure I bought the gift before I took off out of the country. Because when I'm overseas and I am completely stressed about buying good gifts for my family when I return. You see, I go away for a week. I can't enjoy the week because I'm so stressed about what I'm going to buy for them on my return. So I went straight to Sydney Airport and I went into this place and I said, I asked the salesperson, I said, I need Chanel No. 5. Not the watered down version and not the spray, not whatever else you call. I just want the straight perfume. That's the one my wife loves. And I said, yeah, this is the one. This is the one you're after. I didn't trust them, so I rang my wife. I had her on the phone. I said, honey, I'm at the duty-free store. I just want to check that I'm buying the right one. And we talked it all through, and I looked at all the various perfumes. There are a whole bunch of perfumes, aren't there? Even in every brand, there's about 7 different types in the same brand. And she said, yeah, no, that's the one. So I took it off the shelf, went and paid for it with my MasterCard, and I put it in the package, and I put it with my carry-on luggage. I was not going to put it anywhere else because I wanted it to be with me over there on the way back. Give it to my wife, please, my wife, happy family, as I said. And so I had it on the aeroplane, and every so often when you're a little bit obsessive-compulsive, like I am, you just check to see that it's still there. It was still there. I got it to Bali. I stayed in a couple of places in Bali, but every so often I just look in the bag to see it was still there. It was there. The package was still there. Now, I hunted and I gathered, as you do when you're overseas, for shorts and T-shirts and cheap jewelry for my 3 girls and my wife. And and then I came home. And on the way, I checked again. My package was safe. I got home, took out all the gear. The kids were stoked, great T-shirts. I finally got brand names rather than those cheap ones. And I said, Dad, you splurged. I said, yeah, I'm like that. And then after all the gifts, I took out the package. I said, honey, Chanel No. 5, perfume. She picked up the pink package. And she went, this isn't Chanel No. 5. Chanel No. 5 is normally in a white package with gold trim. I'm holding a pink package. Somehow, this hopeless gift giver has picked up the wrong perfume, protected all the way to Bali and back, and it's the wrong one. And they tell me that Christmas should be a time of joy and happiness. What hope does a guy like me have? There's someone who shares my frustration. In the Sydney Morning Herald on the 20th of December, a heckler wrote, for men, gift giving is an agony, unless you have a secretary or a girlfriend who knows what would delight your wife. Bit cheeky there. Otherwise, denied the soft option of buying this year's kitchen appliance and intimidated, a man is certain to buy something that fails to delight, damned for being too expensive or too cheap or the wrong colour. Friends, I want to say that I'm so thankful today that Christmas is not about what gifts I buy for others, although I enjoy them, buying them and receiving them, or what others give me. You see, I am not the center of Christmas, and neither are you. Jesus is. It's not about me and my gifts. It's not about you and your gifts, although it's nice to exchange them. It's about God and his gift, the ultimate gift. It is the gift of a son born to die and rise again for the salvation of the world. And friends, God doesn't ever get the gift wrong. So when Jesus, the God-man, was born, an angel of the Lord appeared on the hills of Bethlehem, proclaimed a message to a nation under the domination of a foreign power and ruled by a tyrant king, to the nation Israel. And this is what he said. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Friends, you would be terrified if angels started speaking to you too. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Friends, they've been waiting for this arrival for centuries, for the King, the Saviour, the Rescuer to be born. And the angels say, "He's here now. Life and joy and hope has arrived in this little baby." But friends, what type of rescue will it be? What type of Saviour is Jesus? Well, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that he would be named Jesus because he would save his people not from the Romans, but from their sins. He would not be a military deliverer, but he would be a Saviour from our sins. And friends, the most important thing we need saving from or bad relationships, but rather we need saving from our sins. My house is decorated with Christmas lights. My wife loves the lights, and every year she buys some more. We now have a nativity scene and an angel. But you see, lights can be dangerous, and I don't know whether you noticed this year, it's the first time I noticed it, but on the radio they would warn people about the danger of putting lights up, and it says, "You love your family, don't you? Look after them." I'm very conscious of that as my two daughters climbed onto the roof of my house the other day. And one's a 14-year-old, and that was okay. She said, "Dad, can I get up then, take the angel and connect it somewhere on my roof?" I said, "You can go and look if you like." But then you see, when my 7-year-old, also in disobedience to her father, climbed up the stairs and stood up there like a champion, Dad was a little bit stressed. Lights can be dangerous. And a couple of years ago in Florida, a 25-foot boat crashed into a rock jetty, killing 2 people and injuring 3 others. They said the boat had been so decorated with lights for a parade that the decorations had obstructed the pilot's view. But let me say, all the trappings of Christmas, including, dare I say, gift giving, can have a place, and they can be a lot of fun. They can also be very dangerous if they obstruct your view of Jesus and his saving work. Because friends, the Bible is very clear that we are all sinners and failures. I'm a moral failure. I fail to live rightly, and I need someone to pay the penalty for my sins. And that person is Jesus. The Bible says our forgiveness is not earned. It is received as a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, God gives the ultimate gift, forgiveness, as a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. God says, "I offer it to you." I read this amazing story in Max Lucado's book called 316, The Numbers of Hope. It's about Dick and Rick Hoyt. Let me tell you about them. They're a father and a son team. They race, and they race a lot. 64 marathons they have raced. I've no trouble walking around the block. 206 triathlons. 204 10-kilometre runs. Since 1975, they've crossed nearly 1,000 finish lines. They've crossed the United States. It took them 45 days to run and pedal 3,735 miles, but they did it. Team Hoyt, as they're called, love races, but only half of Team Hoyt can run. Dick the dad can run, but Rick's legs don't work, nor does his speech. At his birth in 1962, the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, starving oxygen from his brain, stealing coordination from his body. Doctors gave no hope for his development. Dick and his wife, Judy, disagreed with the prognosis. They wanted to help their son. They realized he could think. He couldn't do anything else, but he could think. He graduated from school. He entered college and he graduated from there as well. But Rick, who could not walk, wanted to run. At the age of 15, he asked his father if they could enter a 5-mile benefit race. We're told that Dick, the father, was not a runner, but he was a father. So he loaded his son in a 3-wheeled wheelchair and off they went. He said they haven't stopped since. Friends, young Rick Hoyt relies on his dad to do it all. Lift him, push him, pedal him, tow him. Other than a willing heart, he makes no contribution to the effort. Rick depends entirely on the strength of his dad. And let me say, God wants you to do the same. The Bible says, whoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. It's not what you do, it's who you believe in. And we bring to the spiritual race what Rick Hoyt brings to the physical one. Our spiritual legs have no strength, writes Max Lucado. Our morality has no muscle. Our good deeds cannot carry us across the finish line, but Christ can. That's why Christ was born. That's why the gift was given, to offer us forgiveness of sins, a relationship with God, and eternal life. Friend, it's all a gift. It's the ultimate gift. Do you want that gift on Christmas Day? Do you want to receive that gift? Do you want to know that you have peace with God and forgiveness and you're going to heaven? The only way to get this gift is to believe, to trust in, to receive Jesus. There's no other way to receive that. Now, people don't like the whole idea of believing in someone else. We like to believe in ourselves, don't we? Believe in yourself, work harder, try harder. Self-reliance is our goal. But God says to us, salvation is a gift. You cannot do anything to achieve your salvation. It all comes from God. Friends, Alex is a Christian in a country in East Asia. Although most of the country is Buddhist, he grew up as a Muslim. And about a year or so ago, he put his faith, his trust in Jesus. There's some Christians, friends of mine, who spoke to him about Jesus. And how the only way you can get to heaven is by receiving the grace of God, the free gift of God, and God will wipe away your sins. He will promise you eternal life. And Alex received that message. His wife was still a Muslim. She had not yet become a follower of Christ until very, very recently. And this is what she wrote. She says, I have been carefully watching the lives of lovers of Jesus. That's what they call the Christians within this Muslim community, lovers of Jesus. I've been watching them very carefully the past few months, and I've come to understand that it's all about grace. We can't do it without Jesus. When I think about the enormous difference in the lives and actions of those who love Jesus compared with the people of my community, I'm convinced that grace is the only way. I realize now for the first time that Jesus is for me. He is mine and I am his. Another Muslim believing and trusting in Jesus for salvation. Friends, in our society today, not only we teach the fact that Jesus is the only way, but tolerance is our virtue, isn't it? People say to me, well, you know, you believe in Jesus, that will get you to heaven. Someone believes in Islam, that will get them to heaven. Someone is a Jew, that will get them to heaven. And all paths lead to heaven, they say. But friends, Jesus steps into human history when he was born as a child and he says no. It's an offensive message to some. Jesus says, no, all paths do not lead to God. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We may think tolerance is a great virtue, but when we tolerate lies and untruths, it leads to judgment and alienation from God forever. See, friends, Jesus could have been politically correct. He could have said, you know, I know the way, I show the way, but he didn't say that. He said, I am the way to God. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we also read these words. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Friends, the ultimate gift is salvation, forgiveness, eternal life through faith in Jesus. Only Jesus can give you hope for all of eternity. Only a relationship with Jesus can give you joy. Friends, in contrast, what do the other religions teach? Judaism sees salvation as a judgment day decision based on morality. Hindus anticipate multiple reincarnations in the soul's journey through the cosmos. Buddhism grades your life according to the Four Noble Truths and a Noble Eightfold Path. Muslims earn their way to Allah, performing their duties of the five pillars of faith. Philosophers deem life after the grave as hidden and unknown. And all of those religions, you're never sure that you get there in the end. Jesus says it's a gift. It's free. You don't deserve it. Anyone can have it. Trust in me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I may not be able to pick the right gift to give to others, but there is someone who knew the gift that I needed, and he gave his Son for me and for you. Friends, is it any wonder that the angel said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Someone spoke to me last night after the service and said, you know, I haven't been at church for a long time, but you were involved in my life 9 years ago because of a situation. Just want to say this message of Jesus, I want to know more about that. I plan to come back to services week after week to learn more about Jesus, the ultimate gift given by God. I hope that's your experience as well. Friends, let me conclude with this illustration. It's one of my favourite illustrations about what God has done for us in Jesus. There's a story told about a wealthy father and son who both had a passion for the finest art treasures. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet and others adorned the family estate. The father was widowed and his son was very close to the father, but one day the son was called away to go to a war situation. Soon afterwards, a message came back that the son was missing in action. The father was quite distraught, and a little while later, the message came that the son had lost his life in a process of saving someone else. He had taken the bullet so someone else could be saved. And then on Christmas morning, the father was awakened by the knock on the door. A soldier brought a package to him. It was a large package. And the man said, I brought this package for you because I'm the one whose life was saved by your son giving his life. And he said, I'm an artist and I didn't know what else to do for you to thank you, to say thank you for what your son did for me, but I have a painting of your son. It was a very close-up of the son's face. And the father received that painting and he put it up amongst all the other treasures above the fireplace. A while later, the father took ill and soon afterwards died. And in his will, the art collection was to be auctioned. And people came from everywhere for this great auction and they were anticipating these great pieces of art. But then the auctioneer said, before we sell all the other products, we have to sell the portrait of the son. Now people said, well, you know, that's not very good, that portrait of the son. Can we just hurry up with that and get on to the other paintings? And the auctioneer said, it's in the will, we must sell the portrait of the son first. All of a sudden, there was a man, a friend of the family. He said, listen, I'll give $10 for that portrait, $10. And he said, are there any other bids for this portrait? No other bids. Looked across the crowd of people. One person had $10 for this. He said, going once, going twice, sold for $10. Then the auctioneer said, the auction is now over. The auction is now completed. To which the people said, what do you mean the auction is completed? We've come for these great art treasures. He said, it was the will of the Father that whoever takes the Son gets it all. Whoever gets the Son, whoever takes the Son gets it all. Friends, let me say to you, the ultimate gift has been offered to you, Jesus. Receive him and you get it all. Life, forgiveness, joy, meaning, purpose, power, eternity. You push away the Son, you get nothing. Jesus steps into human history and he says, I am the way to the Father. I'm not only born, but I will go to the cross for you. I'll be raised from the dead as King of the universe. And I will come back
to bring judgment in the future. Be ready for that day. Friends, the message of Jesus is so important that we must both embrace it and proclaim it to our community and to the world. May God help us to embrace the message this Christmas and to share it with others. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for this ultimate gift that you have sent us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve him. We didn't deserve his death on the cross in our place. And yet you offer us forgiveness as a free gift. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I pray for each person who's gathered here this morning and all those who are listening over 90.1 NBC FM this morning, Lord God, that they would embrace this gift, that it would bring them great joy, forgiveness and eternal life and the daily presence of God in their lives. Father, touch people's lives, I pray. For your glory, I pray it. Amen.
To all of our listeners on 2NBC FM 90.1, we thank you for listening and sharing in our service. We're going to close our service this morning with a great Christmas carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. We'll stand to sing.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour King, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.